This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Thank you so much for coming on this rainy day. I'm so happy to be here in this beautiful space. Country has been at the center of my thoughts, emotions, heart, as I've lived in four continents due to exile. I'm originally from Bethlehem, not Pennsylvania. This exilic existence, this very transient life, has made me question very much, where's home? Where do I belong? We're talking about at every level, whether it's a national identity, ethnic identity, heritage, and so forth. So an album came from this notion where I have a trunk of photos. And it's maybe, perhaps, I would call it a trunk of ghosts, because they are photos of relatives from all over the world. They look familiar, but I've never met them. And a lot of them, over the years, I've gone searching for them, everywhere from Africa to Latin America, Europe to Australia, to really listen to their stories. And one of the things I understood on the journey was that I didn't know really what I was looking for, but perhaps the act of listening was an act of resistance. So that's how this book started when I was online in a Brooklyn courthouse, and I was going to become American on the day Barack Obama became president. And that was quite an incredible moment. He was going to be president, and it was the first time it dawned on me, I'm like, oh, now I have to ask myself, what does it mean to be American? Because I was so much trying to be American, and largely because I didn't grow up with a mother tongue. I had many hyphenated mother tongues, five, six of which in the house, everybody would speak the language that they felt most comfortable in, and others would answer in the language that they felt comfortable in. So it sort of was a symphony of languages. And the poetry I wrote, thank God, it was the only thing that wasn't confused in my life, came in English. And I accepted that English. And the American English was able to accommodate all the different cultures that I came from. So this is how this book started. And in the previous book that Hazami mentioned, The Republics, was really a look at Haiti and the Dominican Republic, where I lived. And this book looks at my relationship to France, the United States, and the Mediterranean. So I'll read a few poems from each of the albums. I'll start with this poem entitled Orphic. As a child, I believed God was in the wind that carried us elsewhere, that departures were returns. I buried the sun in my father's ashtray to see him in eyes in Berlin or Stockholm, where cold is another country, longing another landscape, and the past comes back. Close the door, solitude will not leave. Close the window, light will not escape. Close the wooden trunk, memory will not vanish. Close your eyes, home will not disappear. Close everything close, all will remain, like Mostar and Jerusalem, like our Roman chants, Byzantium icons, Muslim prayers. The years passed. I looked for death in Palermo and found my mother's womb. Looked for life in Thessaloniki and found a song about death. Looked for my image in Venice and found all my images. Crossed Trieste with my heart and Naples without my hesitations. Memorized Marseille from Notre Dame de la Garde. Counted all my dreams in Acca. Found my name in the Colosseum. Listened to the lemons fall for hours in Rome, waited for my lover to tell me the sea can't break, and found the musician born in a small town that reminded me that that music always takes us back to the cities we are made from. I spend a lot of time, one of the books I wrote, Poet in Andalusia, was a recreation of Lorca's book, important book about New York, Poet in New York. And now I'm sort of continuing the journey in Italy, in the south of Italy. And I'm also working, I've been listening to a lot of accounts from refugees coming from Africa and Asia. And this is a poem called Europa Nostra. Now that we are guests in our bodies, how do we survive? Zeynep operated a boat to be close to the 103 members of her family who drowned. Bassem learned to speak a language with another alphabet. Atek gathered feathers from trembling snow. Beckham carried splintered glass across 100 mountains. Bina stole prayers from forgotten bodies. Saba held the sound of drums as if they were breaths. Shinolo kept the sun in a folded leaf under the mattress. Roya kept the shadow of the Caspian Sea in the man who needed her. Mikola dreamed the mystery turned cruel by another. Maybe the past is the beginning and return is staying absent. Meanwhile, when someone says toughen up, look at them until they fade. So when I lived in France, this is where I met Mahmoud Darwish, the great Palestinian poet. And he gave me my first writing assignment, which was to interview Allen Ginsberg. Little did I, of course I told him, can I have another interview? I had no idea what I was doing. But it ended up that I interviewed him, and at the time, of course, I never knew that I was going to move to the United States or even become American. But Allen Ginsberg actually died a month later after the interview. So it ended up being one of his last interviews. And when I did come to the States and when I started my writing life, and especially in New York, I started really thinking about all these encounters and what they meant and really thinking about what it is to coexist together. So I'm going to read just a poem from this album called Borders. This is not evening. This is not beauty or a sentence. This is not the moon chanting or the scarlet blue. This is not rain or tearing down. This is not a suitcase or a fleeting day. This is not Arabic jazz or a city of lights. This is not a mine wiping a pass. This is not a muted mouth or a dare. This is not a praise outlining a body about to commit a cry about to define a life about to contact chaos to wind itself of the fever in its memory. There is no consolation, just furies shivering in our spines and what we hope we'd never have to see. Okay, I'm going to shift voices a little bit to France. This is called La Gaffe, and La Gaffe in French means a mistake. And the only other word maybe you should know is La Gauche, which is the left. Okay. A Baroque frame above our bed, I fold his sheets to find the heaven he left on my body. The kind that makes you think you're sleeping with Belmondo and La Gauche is still leading. The kind that makes you wet when you discover he's left you a gun under the sink because he wouldn't be back for Christmas. But this is a French scene, not an American one. So forget the gun. Scarlet red underwear is more appropriate. I can't bear to watch my hurt on the table turn into stardust or my face disappear in a photo booth. I guess some things change, others stay still, like the Palm, the Great Gatsby, and Les Misérables, like the Technicolor store on Rue Jacob and Alain Delon in Madley. I understand. He broke apart because he found peace, and that was too much after combat. Killing me softly. I left him after we saw a film by Michel Leclerc. I didn't want to kiss him anymore. He was no longer buoyant, like the painting I bought from a Senegalese artist in Chinatown. The 13th arrondissement will no longer be where I go for desire. Because I left, I told him I'd keep the J'adore l'Algérie poster because he resented it. Maybe it was time we admitted that no one's happy in Paris. That's why we never leave. The truth is, we stopped listening way before we stopped kissing, like those who lead us. This next poem is from the American album, and I got a Landon residency in West Texas, and it was it was soon after when I became American, and I get to West Texas, and of course, I had an affinity with the landscape. It was the desert. It was actually incredibly stunning. But these images that I had of sort of John Wayne and those Americana images that I had a long time ago, I realized, oh, they had changed in my imagination. They had become familiar. I had a different relationship with them. And of course, there were also this one bar that had country music. So that triggered this title, Life in a Country Album, which is for Americans, we think country music. For the foreigner, there is no relationship to that country music. So Life in a Country Album has a whole other meaning, right? So it seemed like the perfect title for this book. So I'm going to read a few poems from that album. This one's called Un Western avec Gary Cooper. Il était beau. We were in the desert. We were holding hands, but he wasn't there and I didn't exist. Or wait, he existed in full light, but I kept disappearing. Le cinéma, it keeps us on. But what can a cowboy do for a French woman? What does the desert do for lust? He sculpted stars on my breast while horses passed by. The telescreen misty with dust, there we were. Me, him, and the distance. It's easy to disappear here. Pleasure isn't simple. I wanted red boots, and he couldn't speak French. But we allowed ourselves to be missed. Edge. A woman is perfected, Sylvia Plath. She is bare. She is open. Petals around her neck, the moon on her shoulders. She stares at the world, takes it to the edge of all the words men weren't able to invent. And I guess I'll finish with two poems, this one, and of course, a poem about New York City. Because I don't think I could have possibly understood my pluralities or the complexity of which I came from had I not moved to New York City. Because I was told constantly that coexistence wasn't necessarily possible. And I say, well, come to New York. I see it every day on the 7 train. but it really is, I've come to... the act of listening has become very important to me. And what I've learned just on the New York subway has been incredible. But it's been a meditation on what it means to live together, not only in relationship to where we come from, but religion and class and everything that we are told that separates us. Declaration of Independence. Do you know anyone who loves more than one country? Of course. This isn't an opera. You're right. It's more folk or litany. Are you going to answer the question? I did. Let me ask again. Love isn't a lie, but a country is. Takes at the Bowery. I guess all of you have been to New York City, right? Take one. Is it an American god or an Egyptian one? What's the difference? Neither is either there. Take two. We listen to Funk Me Up and go to a hardware store to find a wrinkled vowel. We quit happiness. Take three. We save a recording of a star-spangled banner and make Napoleons for our guests, fix our satellite, wear our basketball hats, leave the sweepstakes on the counter for later. Don't overthink life. Take four. My brother listens to Sinatra in the other room as the stock market crashes. Take five. There aren't enough tramps, explorers, and navigators here anymore, only vampire movies. Thank God for Anne Waldman and Bob Holman. They haven't given up. There's still hope at the Bowery Poetry Club. Take six. My Islam is cool t-shirt pissed you off, but you slept with me anyways. Take seven. A foreigner abandoned Jesus last week for a pack of cigarettes, American spirits. He named his dog Balzac, then Elvis. Take eight. Time making noise, yes. We had abbreviated sex and held on to the prelude. Take nine. Our faces flooded the water. We argued with the mist, tried to exit a book to contemplate disappearance. Take ten. We forgot the Arabs gave us algebra, that Thomas Jefferson kept a Quran in his library. Take 11. Why are all these takes different? Because it's New York City, asshole.